Broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios, it's time for the Countdown to Kickoff Tailgate Show. We'll take a look at today's college football landscape with insights into the big games this weekend from the top 25 to the SEC. With interviews, scoreboard updates, and more. The Countdown to Kickoff Tailgate Show is also brought to you in part by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, Inns Bank, the Klein Preston Law Group, Penn Station East Coast Subs, Casa of Nashville, Strike and Spare Family Entertainment, and real estate agent Richard Courtney of Frederick and Clark Realty. And now, here's your host, Johnny Ballpark Franks.
Saturday, everyone. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you with yet another edition of our Countdown to Kickoff Tailgate Show. We'll be with you until 12 noon. Jonathan Najjar making sure everything runs smoothly. We're in the Goggin Cold Hall Studios, the coldest team in town, now offering great wages and benefits for drivers to join their winning team. If you would like more information, it's simple. Go to their website, gogginkold.com. Coming up in this first hour, around 10:20, we'll visit with Will West, talk show host over in Knoxville with Sports Radio WNML, as we preview Tennessee versus Florida. At 10:35, Brian Matthews joins us. He is a sports writer with AuburnSports.com, part of the Rivals family, as we talk about the CBS game today at 2:30, SEC on CBS, as Auburn on the road taking on Texas A&M. Just after 11, besides keeping you updated with all the early kickoffs at 11, Doug Segrist joins us out of Birmingham, co-host on The Zone on ABC 3340, and a lot to get to. Five games today involving conference competition, as we'll preview those contests and more. And then 11:37, huge game. You know, it's interesting, you know, from the media that covers Georgia talking about, oh, we're used to big games in Athens, right? Stop. You know, sometimes, like the old saying goes, you're too close to the forest to see the trees. This game is huge. Period. End of story. When Notre Dame comes to town, the game is huge. Put it this way. You know, they had to add extra seats, right, inside the stadium. There are going to be almost as many folks outside the stadium that do not have tickets for this game tonight. They're expecting the neighborhood anywhere from 75,000 to 100,000 folks just on the land, you know, the footprint outside the stadium, just because they want to absorb the atmosphere of this huge matchup in this top 10 matchup. In fact, by the way, 53 years ago, that's how far back you have to go, the last time Georgia hosted a non-conference top 10 team. A matchup was, this is when you've had a pair of both teams being in the top 10. So a top 10 matchup, you have to go all the way back to 1966. The last time that occurred, when a Georgia team played Georgia Tech, where both teams are ranked in the top 10. But Chip Towers, he covers Georgia for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. We'll visit with him and talk more about this matchup coming up tonight. Already this week, we've had two teams from the top 25 play. First of all, starting with Thursday night, we had an intriguing matchup, American Athletic Conference play. It was Houston on the road. Remember, this was the same Houston team that started the season taking on Oklahoma back during Labor Day weekend, right? So Houston builds a 28-7 lead in the first half. Tulane comes charging back. They outscore Houston in the fourth quarter, 17-3. Tulane beating Houston 38-31. Tulane now 3-1 on the season, 1-0 in conference play. Houston, with that loss, falls to 1-3. Last night, two games as far as involving ranked teams. First of all, it was 10th-ranked Utah on the road taking on Southern Cal. Southern Cal already down to their backup quarterback, with JT Daniels going out early this season in week one. Well, it was last night, the backup quarterback falling and going down in the second play as far as offensive play for the Trojans, as far as Keaton Slovis getting knocked out of the game. So insert Matt Fink, and what did he do? 21 of 30, 351 yards, 3 touchdowns. And if you think that numbers are big for an individual who did not start the game, it's only happened twice over the last 3 years, and you might recall the last time it happened. That'd be Tua Tagovailoa in the national title game back in 2017 season. So Matt Fink brings USC in a situation where already injured and hurt, and of course they suffered a really big loss last week on the road to BYU. They rebound, huge win for the Trojans, 30-23 last night at home against 10th-ranked Utah. Other action last night, it was Boise State, ranked 20th, at home against Air Force, and it was Boise State pulling out the game in the fourth. Going into the fourth quarter, it was Boise State up 17-13. Boise State outscoring Air Force 13-6 in the fourth quarter, winning that game last night 30-19. Other action saw Louisiana Tech beat Florida International 43-31. A lot of when you look at the landscape today as far as top 25, we have a lot of action going on early today. These are some of the 11 a.m. kickoffs. First of all, it's second-ranked Alabama in Tuscaloosa looking to go 4-0. They host Southern Miss. You also have here in Nashville, Vanderbilt hosting fourth-ranked LSU. And, you know, the stat is I'll give you two ways to look at this matchup. First, from a Vanderbilt perspective, you know, they're 2-0. They've got a winning streak against teams from the SEC West. They've won their last two games against teams from the SEC West. LSU in the SEC West. The problem is when you look at from a Vanderbilt perspective against top five competition, and LSU once again, number four in the country this week in the AP poll, Vanderbilt all-time 0-55 versus top five teams. You know, you're going to get one, right? Is today that day? I don't think so. We'll get more into that and talk more about that game coming up. Also at 11 a.m. today, it's ninth-ranked Florida playing host to Tennessee. And, you know, this used to be just an incredible rivalry with regards to where both teams, you know, this game was one of those indicators about from a national championship perspective. You know, forget about just how it impacts conference championships. This was huge on the national stage. It's been a while since it's been huge on the national stage. Tennessee has lost seven straight, by the way, in Gainesville. They're 1-13 versus the Gators since 2005. But you know, you go back to, how about this for Florida? Kyle Trask, he had to come in for the injured Felipe Franks, who was out for the year, to rally the Gators past Kentucky last Saturday night. He'll be making his first start. Forget about college start. He has not started since his freshman year in high school. And he'll be starting. But here's the thing, though. They've been raving about this guy on that campus. You know, injuries has impacted him since he's arrived at Florida. And it's been one of these situations where when he's healthy, he's been bragged about constantly. Well, he finally gets his opportunity as far as his first collegiate start. That'll be coming up at 11 o'clock today from Gainesville as the Florida Gators play host to Tennessee. Other action today, huge game. As far as from the Big Ten perspective, but also when you think about looking down the road, maybe an impactful game with regards to the college football playoff as well. 13th-ranked Wisconsin playing host to 11th-ranked Michigan. And just look at the yards. You know, here's Jonathan Taylor, you know, one of only three backs when you look at combined yardage in a two-year span where you have over 4,000 rushing yards. Jonathan Taylor certainly in that conversation with regards to the Heisman Trophy. Right now, if you had to pick three, it would be Jalen Hurts, quarterback with Oklahoma, Tua Tagovailoa, quarterback with Alabama, and Joe Burrow, quarterback with LSU. But Jonathan Taylor certainly in that conversation so far this season in two games with Wisconsin. He has rushed for 237 yards, five touchdowns. He could be a difference maker today for Wisconsin at home, taking 11th-ranked Michigan kickoff once again for this game just after 11. How about the Ole Miss and Cal game today? So California from the Pac-12, they'll be coming to Oxford. Not only is this the second meeting for Ole Miss against Cal, this is only the second meeting ever as far as when you look at current members of the Pac-12 that Ole Miss has ever played. They did play Cal 2 years ago. They lost in that game. But this is only the second time that Ole Miss has taken on a current member of the Pac-12. Interesting stat about that one. Once again, kickoff just after 11. And Matt Corral doing an outstanding job, the redshirt freshman quarterback for Ole Miss so far this season. Ole Miss 2-1 on the year. Remember, though, they already have one conference win, that victory over Arkansas earlier this year. But Matt Corral this year, 46-73. He's already passed for 578 yards and four touchdowns. Kickoff for that one from Oxford just after 11. Other action, the rest as far as the top 25, coming up starting this afternoon, 2:30 start time as Ohio State, ranked 6th in the country. You know, they could be one of the better teams or one of the best teams, if not the best team in the country. We just don't know because, well, they haven't played anybody just yet. Justin Fields, the transfer from Georgia, already this year, 52 of 74 passing, 657 yards and 9 touchdowns through the air. Ohio State looking to move to 4-0 today as they take on a 1-2 Miami, Ohio squad. Also at 2:30, huge game, Auburn, Texas A&M. Historically, when you look at this series, until last year, the road team always wins. That's right. The road team has won 6 of the 7 meetings. The only time that it did not occur, here's A&M last year, comfortably in charge of that game down on the plains in the fourth quarter. But it was a key interception thrown by Kellen Mond that inspired the Auburn Tigers to, once again, you always hear that cliche. It was certainly true last year, snapping victories from the jaws of defeat. Auburn came back to win that contest last year. Another interesting stat is the fact the Auburn Tigers, in true road games as a top 10 team, and that's what Auburn finds itself in today, ranked number 8 in the country, they're trying to snap a 7-game losing streak. They have not won on the road as a top 10 team. You have to go all the way back to 2013 when they enjoyed back-to-back victories at Arkansas and at Tennessee. Here's the other part of that, too. Texas A&M, besides just joining the conference, but period, all-time 0-3 against the Auburn Tigers in College Station. Another intriguing matchup. Something tells me today, you know, here's UCF, Central Florida. When you look at the group of five, they're waving the banner for the group of five. They're currently ranked 15th. 2:30 start time. They're on the road against Pitt. Pitt gave Penn State everything they wanted and more last week. And don't be shocked. I mean, here's Pitt at home, 11-point underdog. Don't be shocked to see them put up a very mighty fight today against UCF. Also at 2:30 today, how about a BYU squad? Victories already this year against not only Tennessee, but also USC. Their only loss was to the ranked Utah squad that they lost in the opening week of the season. Today they play host to 22nd-ranked Washington, 2:30 start time in that one. Also at 2:30, how about TCU entering the top 25? This is the first time they're making an appearance in the top 25. The 2:30 start time today as they take on a very surprising SMU squad off to a 3-0 start. TCU, 15th straight year that they have been ranked in the top 25 at one point other or another. Something has to give in this one as these two teams, TCU once again 2-0, SMU, the Mustangs off to a fast 3-0 start. The rest of the games as far as top 25 at night, 6 o'clock tonight, it's 16th-ranked Oregon. Justin Herbert, so far this year, the only loss for Oregon was that opening week, the Labor Day weekend loss in that final 9 seconds to the Auburn Tigers. They've been doing a pretty good job of rocking and rolling since then. 2-1 on the season. They're on the road against Stanford. Justin Herbert, one of the top quarterbacks in all the land. So far this year, in the three games for Oregon, he's passed for 868 yards and 11 touchdowns. Other action, 21st-ranked Virginia hosting Old Dominion. You've got Clemson. How about Trevor Lawrence? There's only one quarterback in FBS who has thrown more interceptions this year than Trevor Lawrence. Just one. Already this year, Trevor Lawrence, he's been struggling from that standpoint. Otherwise, the offense for Clemson been rolling pretty easily. But his 5 interceptions, Trevor Lawrence, as I mentioned, it's tied for second most in the FBS. Only one has thrown more. He only had 4 the entire season last year. Texas tonight, 12th-ranked Texas hosting Oklahoma State. Texas just can't seem to beat Oklahoma State as far as when they host Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State has a winning streak now. When you look at this matchup between Texas and Oklahoma State, the fact that Texas has lost 5 straight home meetings against the Cowboys. Then we'll talk more about this game a little bit, especially in the 11 o'clock hour with Chip Towers with the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Georgia ranked third, Notre Dame ranked seventh. It's one of three top 25 matchups we have. In fact, you could take the first 3 weeks combined that equals the number of top 25 matchups we have today. So the first 3 weeks, we only had three such meetings of top 25 matchups. Today we get three. This is the top 10 matching up with Georgia hosting seventh-ranked Notre Dame. We're also getting the matchup with Auburn on the road against Texas A&M. And don't forget Wisconsin hosting Michigan. A couple other games to talk about as far as top 25 teams. Arizona State, Herm Edwards group, off to the 3-0 start. They got a tough one tonight as they host Colorado. 9 o'clock kickoff for that one. And then finally, kicking off at 9:30, is 19th-ranked Washington State, also unbeaten on the year, 3-0, hosting a 0-3 UCLA squad. Anthony Gordon leading the way for Washington State. Just like we saw Gardner Minshew and what he did Thursday night, quarterbacking the Jaguars against the Tennessee Titans, Mike Leach has another good one in Anthony Gordon. 1,324 passing yards already this year, 12 touchdowns. 9:30 tonight, Washington State hosting UCLA. All right, coming up, a chance to preview Tennessee and Florida. Will West, he's a co-host on Knoxville Sports Radio, WNML. He'll be joining us as we get into some conversation about Tennessee versus the Gators. That's coming up as our countdown to kickoff tailgate show continues right here on Nashville Sports Radio.
This is Jim Renitz, CEO of InsBank. For over 17 years, InsBank has been proudly helping Middle Tennessee businesses, people we consider friends. InsBank is a true local bank built by and for Nashville business leaders, a place where clients' best interests come first, a place where you have access to local decision makers, and a place where you receive the personalized service you deserve. It's because we are a different kind of bank that knows what makes sense for you and your business. Come visit us at our Green Hills or Brentwood office or online at InsBankTN.com. Your bank, your partner. Get to know InsBank, where genuine matters.
Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Are you looking for the ideal destination for family fun? A place which combines the best of bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers is the answer. Experience a great time with family, friends, and co-workers at Strike and Spare Family Entertainment. With five centers in Middle Tennessee, there's a location near you. Book your next party or event, from birthday parties to family reunions. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers is also great for fundraising events and company parties as well. For more information, go online to strikeandsparebowling.com. Visit their locations in Donaldson Plaza, Murfreesboro, and the Tusculum area, as well as enjoying enhanced fun in Hendersonville and Hermitage, including bumper cars, Time Freak, and a laser maze. Hendersonville also has laser tag, roller skating, and an indoor bungee trampoline. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
Penn Station likes to mix things up. Cold subs for lunch, grilled subs for dinner, wraps and salads for any time. Penn Station's got a variety of delicious extras for everyone in the family. Fresh cut fries, cheese bread, kids' meals, and chocolate chunk cookies. So whether we grill, we fry, or we bake, we like to give you plenty of options. Penn Station, it's all about good taste.
Every team needs a go-to producer when the game is on the line. It's no different when you're looking for a real estate professional when buying or selling a home. Knowledge. Trust. Results. Richard Courtney, with more than 30 years of experience, is that local real estate all-star. Learn more about his proven marketing plan at richardcourtney.com or call 615-300-8189. Richard Courtney is part of Frederick and Clark Realty. 615-327-4800.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Prank Show.
When you talk about sports radio, it's pure. Okay, it's not sound bites. Mr. Franks, man, you do it as good as anybody. So I really appreciate, you know, in my time in Nashville, you watched me grow up. You've helped me grow. Okay, man, you've provided plenty of conversation, you know, man, for us to talk about all things Vanderbilt. I thank you for that. I truly do.
Weekdays starting at 4 from Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
You're listening to the Countdown to Kickoff Show with Johnny Ballpark Franks.
And welcome back to our Countdown to Kickoff Tailgate Show with Johnny Ballpark Franks. Jonathan Najjar making sure everything runs smoothly. Broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studios. One of our proud sponsors, the Klein Preston Law Group here in Nashville, a proud supporter of the Atlanta Braves. By the way, congratulations to them. Back-to-back National League East titles, and now let's move on to the playoffs for the Braves. But still another week to go as far as the regular season. By the way, we'll have the Braves action tonight, also wrapping up this home series with San Francisco tomorrow afternoon. But as far as the Klein Preston Law Group, they've got over two decades of experience in litigation and transactional practice. Their practice focuses primarily on business law, including business litigation, business structure, and international law. The Klein Preston Law Group, they've represented clients from the state and federal courts throughout the state of Tennessee, all the way to the United States Supreme Court. For more information, go to the website, Klein with a K, KleinPrestonLaw.com. Coming up a little bit later this hour at 10:37 or so, Brian Matthews, sports writer with Auburn Rivals, part of the, and it's also AuburnSports.com, as we preview Auburn on the road taking on Texas A&M. But right now, going to the hotline, good morning to Will West. He's a co-host on Knoxville Sports Radio, WNML. Will, hope you've had a great week, and as always, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me, Johnny. I appreciate it, man.
All right, so when we look at this matchup, I can't help but just go back to how special this series, you know, what it meant to college football, not only in the SEC, but also in the national landscape. You know, all those glory years of just, you know, I mean, we're talking about not only, you know, there were 14 years from 85 to 02 where both teams were ranked in the top 15. Nine matchups where both teams were ranked in the top 10. Four matchups where both teams ranked in the top five. You know, it's been a while since we've had it where both teams ranked in the top 10, and that was 2005. Since then, Tennessee has lost seven straight in Gainesville. They're 1-13 against the Gators since 2005. You know, you start looking at streaks like that, the losing streak against Alabama, a three-game losing streak to Vanderbilt. You know, here's Tennessee in a year that we're celebrating 150 years of college football. You know, Tennessee is one of the 15th best programs in the history of college football, but you know, it comes down to the point. Eventually, they have to start acting like it again, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, and really, that's been a lot of the conversation around here in whispers the last few weeks of maybe this isn't just a down cycle, maybe this is what Tennessee is right now. And I would still say Tennessee has all of the resources to be a top 15 job. Tennessee should be a top 15 job. The problem is that you, frankly, your boosters keep hiring bad coaches and guys that have no business having a job like the Tennessee job. And with Jeremy Pruitt, he at least was a good enough from an X's and O's standpoint coach that you would hire him, that I could at least see them hiring him. It just seemed like it was maybe 2 to 4 years earlier that you would have liked to have let him have this type of job. And look, right now it's not going well. I mean, look, we had this conversation where, because there's still, to most Tennessee fans, older Tennessee fans consider Alabama the biggest rival. The majority of Tennessee fans consider Florida the biggest rival. And one thing that I, you know, had to kind of have a reality check with Tennessee fans is, look, that's not, Vanderbilt's your biggest rival right now, and you're behind in that rivalry. You're owned in that rivalry right now, but your biggest rival is not Florida. Florida doesn't consider Tennessee. Like, you heard what Michael Pirine, what he had to say at SEC Media Days. It's just another game. Kentucky's a bigger rivalry right now for Florida than Tennessee is, and that's just the reality of where the Vols are right now. Until they start winning some games, nothing's going to change.
I go back to, and we've had this discussion before, Will, you know, the fact that, first of all, it starts when you start slicing up the SEC pie, all the schools are getting 40-plus million. When you think about all the season ticket holders, all the marginal donors that are out there that support Tennessee football and athletics and the university itself, you know, how much would it impact the school and the programs if somebody had the guts to stand up and say, hey, the seven guys, we don't need you. You know, we want your support, but that's all we want. We want your money, allow us to do our jobs, but you don't get to constantly put your input in there without taking responsibility and without any accountability of all the things that go wrong with the programs.
See, and the unfortunate part is right now you're so far behind in buyouts, the Tennessee's athletics department's in the red, even with all this money coming in, that they have to have the money from those guys to be able to pay these buyouts. And they had to go do have a special meeting with boosters to get the money they needed for Rick Barnes, because you're still paying Butch Jones and his staff, and you're paying Jeremy Pruitt. It's a really unfortunate situation. And you also have a couple of boosters of Tennessee that are like that. They cut their check, they get their You know, they get their name on a wall somewhere, and they get their skybox booth, and they move along. But then for the majority of these guys, a lot of it too is this: is you have this power struggle between really two boosters and the rest of, you know, the other five boosters, and back and forth those boosters get to make the decision, and they've all failed in their decision making process. So every time one of those groups of boosters fails, the other group points the finger at them and says, "See, this is why you don't need to have this. We're taking this over." And then they take it over and fail. And this is the back and forth that you get. Or you end up in a situation like Derek Dooley, where you just split the play. You know, you keep having to make allowances for what each booster wants. And then once you find someone you can all compromise on, that coach has a 4-8 record and he has no business being a head coach at the University of Tennessee. So it's an ugly situation. They can't afford to not have these boosters. And these boosters do a lot to, like, if there's a check that needs to be cut, they cut it, right? Like, they're financially, they're great boosters. They just, and a lot of them are former football players. They just think the game's still what it was in the 1950s and 60s, and they don't really pay enough attention to the world of college football. So a lot of it's just personalities, what they try to pick a coach on, and it has failed repeatedly right now. I mean, I've been doing this 12 years, Johnny. We're on coach number 5 at the University of Tennessee's football program in the 12 years that I've been doing this, and so far that coach is statistically the worst coach in the history of Tennessee football so far. So this is how well it's gone the last 12 years.
You know, I go back with this opportunity today for Tennessee. You know, you have to go back 13 years, 14 seasons since the last time Tennessee has notched a win over a top 10 team. That's when they beat Georgia back in 2006 in Athens. Look, there's something about, you know, Jeremy Pruitt in these situations. I mean, did anybody think last year Tennessee was going to be able to go on the road and beat a ranked Auburn team? No. I thought they played well against Georgia last year as well. I bring it up because, once again, we're talking about opportunities. Now, how about this? If you told the football team that Kyle Trask, the quarterback for the Gators, who came in relief and led that comeback for the Gators last Saturday night in Lexington, he's making his first start, get this, since his freshman year in high school. That's how far back you have to go the last time Kyle Trask has started a game. He shared duties, and he saw a lot of action in high school with Eric King, but injuries has been a major factor of Kyle Trask. You know, he was redshirted in 2016. He was injured in 2017. He appeared in 4 games last year as a backup quarterback, but, oh, get this, a foot injury hurt him the remainder of the season. So here's a guy that, when healthy, I mean, people brag about him. I was talking to Pat Dooley earlier this morning, in a conversation talking about Kyle Trask, and he was basically just talking about how everybody has been raving about this individual and just looking forward to this opportunity. Well, he gets it today, kicking off just after 11.
And there are a lot of little intangible things like that that kind of go with smaller things that look like they could go in Tennessee's favor. Hard-fought game against Kentucky last week that Florida had, and they turn around with a noon kickoff at home. And home teams a lot of times just struggle to kind of be motivated during noon kickoffs, especially if they're a couple touchdown favorite or something like that. Trask is stepping in for Felipe Franks, and it's his first start since he was a freshman in high school. The problem for me, though, in picking this, and so what we've seen is, like, since the end of the Chattanooga game, it was like, well, we have no chance against Florida, is what everybody said here. So now it's become, well, I think we can win this game because of Trask and because of all of these other things. And I keep having to point out to people, a lot of times football's won at the line of scrimmage, and Florida's offensive line is a problem right now. Like, they have problems there. Tennessee does not have the defensive line to be able to exploit that. Tennessee beat Auburn last year because their pass rush was able to get to Jared Stidham, and he just threw 3 balls up for grabs that he had no business throwing up there. I don't know if it's a different defensive line now, and I don't know that Tennessee has a pass rusher that can really disrupt anything that Florida has on their offensive line. And then if you look at the other side, the strength of Florida defensively is going to be that front and going to be the blitzing that's coming with that defense. Can Tennessee's offensive line handle that? I mean, their Achilles heel has been pass blocking right now. And to go ahead and play younger guys, they are taking away their best run blocker in Marcus Tatum. So there's just not a lot quantifiably I can point to that says Tennessee is going to win this football game. Can they? Yes, but you would need an Auburn-like situation or a Kentucky-like situation last year where you're like +2, +3, +4 in the turnover margin, I think, for Tennessee to need to have the opportunity to win this game.
I will say this. If Tennessee is not able to pull off the upset today, it may be a month. You get the bye week next week, and then Tennessee, when you look at the month of October, hosting Georgia, hosting Mississippi State, on the road against Alabama before wrapping up the month of October at home against South Carolina. Over the next five games, it's going to be tough to even get one victory during that stretch.
And if not, if you don't, like that, that's kind of what we've talked about a lot this week, too, especially towards the end of the week. Look, if you win this game, or at least can keep it close, maybe you can, you know, keep the wheels on the wagon, and maybe you can knock out Mississippi State or South Carolina and salvage a 5-7 season at the end of the year. If you don't and you lose this game, you lose to Georgia, you lose to Mississippi State, you lose to Bama, you lose to South Carolina, are the wheels on this wagon at UAB? I mean, let's be very real. It's already desperation enough that Tennessee is playing a guy that was arrested for domestic assault before his court day, right? That coming up, Bryce Thompson's going to play if he's traveling, most likely. And because you just don't travel, take a travel roster spot with only 70 guys if you don't intend to play him.
So, how did that, by the way, register when that came out that he's actually making the trip and he's dressed and he was working with the first team players this week?
So I'll just say it. Like the decent people here are pretty appalled by it, and I think the main thing is okay. Jeremy Pruitt owns his behavior from now on, right? If anything he does, it's not about him anymore. It's about Jeremy Pruitt. You have that group of fans that don't care, just win, baby, and they don't care if you're Baylor or the U or whatever. And so you have that group of fans that are saying, just play the guy. That's what's going on. Tennessee is telling people, hey, we've gotten some word behind the scenes that the charges are going to be dropped or it's going to end up just being not a big deal. I do still look at this and say, this is like strike number four for this kid, right? And so I just hope, because he clearly has legitimate mental health issues. Tennessee has an opportunity here to try to change this kid's life. If you're going to keep him on the team, make him jump through hoops, make him go through some sort of type of treatments to make sure he can get better, because he clearly has big-time problems. And they can do that. If not, and they pass him along, Antonio Brown, right? If you continue to pass guys along that have these types of behavioral issues, they're just going to do it again, and it's going to humiliate you and blow up in your face. So I hope there's an adult on Tennessee's campus that's capable, willing, and has the integrity to actually try to help change this kid's life if you are going to keep him here. And it's not just big-time football throwing pretty good college football player out there just because you need a win right now desperately, because Bryce Thompson's not going to be the difference in you winning or losing this game.
Hey, we appreciate you as always, Will. If you're not already doing so, you need to follow Will on Twitter, at Will West, WNML, co-host on Knoxville Sports Radio, WNML. As always, it's a pleasure. Hope you have a great football weekend, and we'll talk soon.
Hey, thanks a lot, John.
Thank you. That's Will West joining us again from Knoxville, previewing Tennessee, Florida. We'll have more on this game, and as we break it down, especially with Doug Seekers coming up at the top of the hour. This segment brought to you by our fine friends with Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers. If you're looking for an ideal destination for family fun, I'm talking about a place that combines the best of bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers is the answer. And with five centers in Middle Tennessee, there's a location near you. So visit them. We're talking about Donaldson Plaza, Murfreesboro, and the Tusculum area, as well as enjoying enhanced fun in Hendersonville and Hermitage, including bumper cars, Time Freak, and a laser maze. Hendersonville also has laser tag, roller skating, and an indoor bungee trampoline. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers. Coming up on the other side, a chance to talk a little Auburn, Texas A&M. Brian Matthews, sports writer with AuburnSports.com, part of the Rivals Network. He'll be joining us as our countdown to kickoff tailgate show continues right here on Nashville Sports Radio.
The Klein Preston Law Group in Nashville, a proud supporter of the Atlanta Braves and Southeastern Conference, has over two decades of experience in litigation and transactional practice. Their practice focuses primarily on business law, including business litigation, business structure, and international law. The Klein Preston Law Group has represented clients from state and federal courts throughout the state of Tennessee to the United States Supreme Court. For more information, go to their website, Klein with a K, PrestonLaw.com.
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is four-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Paid for by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
This is the sound of a racing heart. It's beating a little faster because it belongs to a young child. But this child isn't in the middle of a close soccer game or playing with her puppy in the yard. Her heart is racing because she's just been told she has to move foster homes again. Change a child's story. There's a child waiting for a volunteer like you.
Volunteer or donate at CasaNashville.org.
Every team needs a go-to producer when the game is on the line. It's no different when you're looking for a real estate professional when buying or selling a home.
Knowledge, trust, results.
Richard Courtney, with more than 30 years of experience, is that local real estate all-star. Learn more about his proven marketing plan at richardcourtney.com or call 615-300-8189. Richard Courtney is part of Frederick and Clark Realty. 615-327-4800.
Penn Station likes to mix things up. Cold subs for lunch, grilled subs for dinner, wraps and salads for any time. Penn Station's got a variety of delicious extras for everyone in the family. Fresh cut fries, cheese bread, kids' meals, and chocolate chunk cookies. So whether we grill, we fry, or we bake, we like to give you plenty of options. Penn Station, it's all about good taste.
This is Jim Renitz, CEO of Innsbank. For over 17 years, Innsbank has been proudly helping Middle Tennessee businesses, people we consider friends. Innsbank is a true local bank built by and for Nashville business leaders, a place where clients' best interests come first, a place where you have access to local decision makers, and a place where you receive the personalized service you deserve. It's because we are a different kind of bank that knows what makes sense for you and your business. Come visit us at our Green Hills or Brentwood office or online at InnsbankTN.com. Your bank, your partner. Get to know Innsbank, where genuine matters.
Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Now back to Johnny Ballpark Franks and the Countdown to Kickoff Show.
And welcome back to our Countdown to Kickoff Tailgate Show. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Jonathan DeJar making sure everything runs smoothly over the next 2 hours. Broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studios. A big game this afternoon when we think about not only the SEC, but also from a landscape with regards to the national pitcher as well. Brian Matthews, sports writer with AuburnSports.com. You can also follow Brian on Twitter at BMATAU. Also, you can follow AuburnSports.com on Twitter as well, at Auburn Rivals. Brian, as always, we appreciate you, and welcome back to the show.
Bradley, Johnny, looking forward to a great day of football, especially in the SEC. I think there's some really exciting games.
Well, you know, it's interesting. We have Auburn and Texas A&M, one of five games today as far as conference play is concerned. And until last year, when you look at this series, you know, since Texas A&M joined the conference back in 2012, it was always the road team being the winning squad. That all changed last year. Kellen Mond, a key interception in the fourth quarter, sparked that fourth quarter comeback for the Auburn Tigers. And so that changed the trend. Now, will it go back to the road team winning again? Well, the Auburn fans want that to be the case. Texas A&M 0-3 against Auburn in College Station.
They are, and Auburn was fortunate to score those two touchdowns last 8 minutes last year against the Aggies. And, of course, this is year two under Jimbo Fisher, I believe. So you'd expect their program to sort of incorporate his ideas a little bit more, be a little bit more tougher, be able to handle maybe those late leads a little bit better. But I'm expecting a pretty close, low-scoring game, to be honest with you. I don't think either team's offensive line have performed very well so far. I think both teams have very good front sixes, front sevens on defense, and pretty good secondaries too. So I just see this as a defensive struggle that's going to come down to a turnover or a big play on special teams.
You know, Gus Malzahn, when he had his Auburn Tigers ranked in the top 10, he got off to a great start, winning on the road as a top 10 team. But since 2014, we're talking about seven straight losses on the road as a top 10 squad. I'm sure he and the rest of the Auburn faithful want that particular stat to go away today as well.
Absolutely, they do. And, you know, they did get the nice win at a neutral site of Oregon a few weeks ago, which was a good experience, especially for a freshman quarterback. But when you look at this game and the implications for Auburn, although it's not technically an elimination game, in many respects, it is an elimination game if Auburn is going to compete for the SEC West, the SEC Championship game, be in the picture for the four-team college football playoff, because when you look at Auburn's schedule, they still got games against top-10 teams like Georgia, Alabama, Florida on the road, LSU on the road. We haven't won in 20 years. So this is really, excuse me, that was supposed to just blew by me. This is really a important game for Auburn if they're going to compete and be in that championship hunt there in November.
How about this odd stat? Both Texas A&M and Auburn last week, as far as total offense, amassed 633 yards. Blowout wins, Auburn over Kent State, Texas A&M beating Lamar, but that's just an unusual stat. Kellen Mond, to me, there's a couple of things that are in work here, and you wonder, you know, sometimes when you're trying to, you know, change and write a script or rewrite a script based on past failures, I start back to earlier this season. He played awful against Clemson. Opportunities galore in that first half where that could have been certainly a different outcome or at least a close game in the fourth quarter. But because of Kellen Mond's play, he helped A&M play themselves out of a chance to pull off that upset earlier this year. And then you go back, we brought it up earlier, the fact that, you know, A&M, you know, I'll be stunned. I still remember listening to the call with Rob Bramlett and the fact that it looked like it was going to be a win for A&M on the road. That all changed with Kellen Mond's interception in the fourth quarter.
No, I agree with you on Kellen. I think he is a talented quarterback. I'm not sure he's a very good or great starting quarterback in this conference, and it's certainly something you got to be concerned about, whatever situation they're in, whether he's going to make good decisions, whether he's going to take care of that football, even as a junior with all his experience. I still think he can be an X factor and for really the other team. I don't see Kellen Mond necessarily beating Auburn, but I could see him losing to Auburn, if you know what I'm saying.
I think something else is at stake here, and we saw it certainly on display at the SEC Media Days when you looked at all the representatives, the 42 players representing the 14 schools, how heavily represented the state of Texas was. Nine of those 42 players were from the state of Texas. And so anytime, like, you're an Auburn, a team outside the state of Texas, you can come in there and get a win. It can do nothing but help your recruiting if you're going after recruits there from the state of Texas.
Well, you're right. Auburn's got several Texas players on its roster. Of course, Jarrett Stidham was from Texas. Now with the New England Patriots there, they've got a commitment from one of the top safeties in the country from Texas right now, and that's an area that Auburn really didn't recruit a lot of or got a lot of players out of until Texas A&M came into the conference. So I think being the SEC certainly helps Texas A&M. But it also helps the other teams, especially in the West and the SEC.
Another thing, too, and, you know, some stats go, okay, it has nothing to do with this year, but you know, some really, really stick out for me. The fact that over the last 26 seasons, Auburn and SEC opening games, they're 21-5. And when you look at SEC road openers, which today is as well, they've won 18 out of the last 23. It's always great to get off to the 1-0 start when you're talking about a season, when you're talking about conference play, and that certainly has favored the Auburn Tigers in both of those certain stretches.
It is, but Auburn usually doesn't open SEC play against LSU, Alabama, or Georgia, certainly. So it's usually one of the mid-tier SEC-type programs like a Mississippi State or an Ole Miss. So it's not necessarily a record you can hang your hat on, especially going to a place like Texas A&M, where there's going to be 100,000 fans in there rooting against you, and where you're bringing the true freshman quarterback to start his first true road game.
Yeah, because I go back, you know, you can say, well, Auburn's already had a technically a road game. It was a neutral side in Atlanta when they took on, when they took on Oregon to begin this year in that matchup. So he's already played one, particular game. Actually, the game was played in Dallas. But it's different when you're playing a game where most of the fans are pulling against you. And so I'll be interested. How did they prepare, by the way, Bo Nix, for this situation?
They did the usual stuff. You know, they practice in their indoor. They put loud music in there. I'm sure they'll have, you know, they use hand signals a lot anyway. So, and of course, the boards on the sideline. But that'll be the same thing. And with them going fast as they want to go, I think that also takes away some of the crowd noise. Potential issues on offense, although this team does tend to get some of those offside penalties, those illegal motion penalties and such when they're on the road.
How frustrating must it be, or do you think Gus Malzahn uses this as just extra motivation for himself personally? I know last year when I visited with him during SEC Media Days, you know, he talked about the importance of self-evaluation. And this year, in talking with him, he just seemed like he was really at ease with his situation, very comfortable, very optimistic and confident about his group for 2019 as well. But it has to be frustrating. I mean, here you are, you have a top 10 team entering this game today as far as Auburn, ranked eighth in the country, and yet you constantly have to hear about who the next coach is going to be for the Auburn Tigers.
Yeah, and you're speaking of a report by some blogger out in California, which I don't really give a lot of credit to. I think that information about Jimmy Rain and wanting a Bob Stoops as the next head coach at Auburn is maybe 8 months old back in December, when there was a lot of upheaval and there were some people on Auburn's board wanting to make a push to fire Gus and his staff and start over again. But that's sort of been put behind them. Now, if they lose today, it'll probably pop right back up. That's just the nature of it. When you're 6-13 against your three biggest rivals, Alabama, Georgia, and LSU, that's going to put a lot of pressure on you coming into a season. So this is an important season for Gus. This is an important game for him to be in that, you know, championship talk, to be in, you know, be in the race going to LSU and hosting Georgia and Alabama in November.
Yeah, it's not going to be easy, and that's why when you think about important wins, and this for me, for Auburn, because I have them picked to go 10-1 heading into the Iron Bowl this year when they play host to Alabama. And to get there, today is one of those games they have to get the W. And I can understand the talk from the Auburn perspective. I mean, that stretch that I talk about, seven straight losses as a top 10 team on the road. If you want to constantly be in that conversation as one of the best teams, you got to find ways to win games like today.
That's right. And, you know, Texas A&M, the thing is, they're probably thinking the same thing. They want to win this game and step up and challenge, you know, LSU and Alabama at the top of the West. So in many ways, this is an elimination game between the third and fourth spot in the SEC, although it's still early to nail down those spots, right? But you got to feel the winner of this game feels really confident about their ability to challenge, and the loser feels like they're, you know, already behind the eight ball, so to speak, and they got a lot of making up to do. And if that's Auburn, they've got to go on the road and beat teams like Florida and LSU just to be in it.
I got this game being very tight. I think it's a field goal game, but just something tells me that this really plays in favor of Gus Malzahn today. Just something tells me he's going to find some kind of strange magic, whether it's Bo Nix, a nice long touchdown run, whatever the case may be, that Auburn will find a way to pull off this game today.
I actually picked the A&M 17-14.
So, well, at least we're right about the three-point game aspect of it.
That's right. We're balancing each other out, I guess. But I think for Auburn to win, they've got to win the turnover battle, and they probably need to get a defensive score somehow. And I think either team could get a defensive score just based on their defenses and really the offenses on the other side of the ball. So I do expect a low-scoring game. I do think it's going to be close, and I do think it's going to come down to making plays in the fourth quarter.
You can keep up with Brian once again. The site is auburnsports.com. You can keep up with Brian Matthews on Twitter at BMATAU. And here's the other thing, too. I really want them to win, because that means on any given Saturday, Auburn is still very relevant as far as the conference race and beyond, and I want more visits with you on Saturday. So, but until then, I hope you have a great football weekend.
Hey, I appreciate it. Looking forward to more talks with you on Saturday.
Thank you, buddy. Brian Matthews once again joins us. Hey, we're just getting started. We have another hour to go with our Countdown to Kickoff tailgate show. And starting with the 11 o'clock hour, Doug Segrist joins us from Birmingham. He is the co-host on Birmingham's The Zone on ABC 3340. We'll also visit with Chip Towers. He covers the Bulldogs with the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. He'll join us at 11:37. A lot to get to. As always, we appreciate our sponsors making it possible for us to be with you each and every Saturday from 10 a.m. to noon, including Penn Station East Coast Subs. Check them out for all your tailgating needs, your viewing party needs. They can make party trays no matter how big or small your parties are. You can check them out. Locations to serve you in Hermitage. Don't forget the two locations in Murfreesboro, Memorial Boulevard or Medical Center Parkway. For September, try the Chicken Choices subs and wraps with chips and drink at a special price. Penn Station, it's all about good taste.
Are you looking for the ideal destination for family fun? A place which combines the best of bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment? Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers is the answer. Experience a great time with family, friends, and co-workers at Strike and Spare Family Entertainment. With 5 centers in Middle Tennessee, there's a location near you. Book your next party or event, from birthday parties to family reunions. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers is also great for fundraising events and company parties as well. For more information, go online to strikeandsparebowling.com. Visit their locations in Donaldson Plaza, Murfreesboro, and the Tusculum area, as well as enjoying enhanced fun in Hendersonville and Hermitage, including bumper cars, Time Freak, and a laser maze. Hendersonville also has laser tag, roller skating, and an indoor bungee trampoline. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
This is the sound of a racing heart. It's beating a little faster because it belongs to a young child. But this child isn't in the middle of a close soccer game or playing with her puppy in the yard. Her heart is racing because she's just been told she has to move foster homes again. Change a child's story. There's a child waiting for a volunteer like you.
Volunteer or donate at CasaNashville.org.
The Klein Preston Law Group in Nashville, a proud supporter of the Atlanta Braves and Southeastern Conference, has over 2 decades of experience in litigation and transactional practice. Their practice focuses primarily on business law, including business litigation, business structure, and international law. The Klein Preston Law Group has represented clients from state and federal courts throughout the state of Tennessee to the United States Supreme Court. For more information, go to their website, Klein with a K, PrestonLaw.com.
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is 4-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Paid for by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
And your listeners need to know that the nicest guy at SEC Media Days is Johnny Ballpark Franks.
You've always been so kind.
It's just true. It's easy to tell the truth, Johnny.
Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
I'm constantly amazed when I drive in. I often stay at the Omni downtown.
Weekdays starting at 4 from Nashville's Sports Radio, WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
It's the Countdown to Kickoff Show on Nashville Sports Radio.
And welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you with our Countdown to Kickoff Tailgate Show. This is time now, like we enjoy doing each and every Saturday at this time, time for our Armed Forces update. Already, Air Force has seen action. They fell to 2-1 on the season after losing at Boise State. Boise State ranked 20th in the country. And it was Boise State winning 30-19. Last week, Air Force pulled off the huge win, taking care of business on the road against Colorado, winning 30-23. Next week, Air Force will be taking on San Jose State at home. Navy last week improved to 2-0 on the year, beating East Carolina 42-10. They'll be off this week, back in action on Thursday night. Huge game. They'll be in Memphis, Liberty Bowl, 7 p.m. ESPN. Thursday night as Navy takes on Memphis. And then finally, the Army Black Knights, 2-1 on the year. Last week, they beat Texas, San Antonio, last week winning 31-13. This week, 11 a.m. start time as they take on Morgan State. Army looking to go 3-1 on the year. The only loss for Army was that overtime defeat to Michigan earlier this year. As far as the early games that we'll be keeping up with, as for, you know, first, as far as the ranked opponents, kicking off at 11, second-ranked Alabama playing host to Southern Miss. Here in Nashville, you've got fourth-ranked LSU in town to take on the Vanderbilt Commodores. By the way, Vanderbilt riding a high on a 2-game winning streak, right, against teams from the SEC West. Can they make it 3? Well, if they do so, it'll be their first win ever against the top 5 team. 0-55 previously in program's history against top 5 competition. A huge game for Tennessee, talking about streaks. They're trying to end one as far as a losing streak on the road. as they're taking on the Florida Gators. Lost seven straight, Tennessee has, in games played in Gainesville. 11 a.m. kickoff. We'll be keeping you updated on that one as well. A huge game in the Big Ten, 13th-ranked Wisconsin, 11th-ranked Michigan. Both of these teams 2-0. It's also the conference opener for both squads, 11 a.m. kickoff from Wisconsin. In an interesting game involving a team from the SEC, this will not only be the second meeting ever between Ole Miss and Cal, by the way, ranked 23rd in this week's top 25 poll, but Ole Miss, this will only be the second game ever for Ole Miss against a current member of teams from the Pac-12, 11 a.m. kickoff from Oxford. And then the other interesting games that we'll be keeping you updated on as far as these 11 a.m. kickoffs are concerned. We have, as far as first of all, from a standpoint of ACC action, you have Boston College on the road taking on Rutgers. Wake Forest plays host to Elon. Iowa State at home. They'll be hosting Louisiana Monroe. All these are 11 a.m. kickoffs. Indiana from the Big Ten playing host to UConn. A nice matchup as far as Big Ten play. Big Ten opener for both of these teams as well, as Northwestern at home, a 9-point underdog, taking on Michigan State. And then also 11, we mentioned earlier, Army in action against Morgan State. And so those will be all your 11 a.m. kickoffs that we'll be keeping you updated on. As far as rest of the SEC play, the SEC games this afternoon, 2:30, Auburn at A&M. You have a 3 o'clock start time as Mississippi State plays host to Kentucky. Missouri, we'll talk more about this matchup. This is a huge game, really under the radar, but Battle of Columbia here, South Carolina at Missouri. We'll talk about how that game can impact the SEC East. And then the other two games tonight, Arkansas at 6:30 hosting San Jose State. But then the big game, not only in the SEC, but from a national landscape. When you think about playoff predictors as far as the All-State predictors, number one with a bullet is this one. Georgia, ranked third, taking on seventh-ranked Notre Dame. 7 p.m. start at Dooley Field over in Athens at Sanford Stadium. Hour number one in the books. Hour number two coming up as our countdown to kickoff tailgate show continues. We'll visit with Doug Segrist out of Birmingham with The Zone on ABC 3340 at 11:05. Around 11:37, Chip Towers with the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. As always, we know you have choices. We appreciate you listening to our show right here on Nashville Sports Radio.